Amen. Praise God. Welcome. God bless you this morning. Man, it is just, it's kind of like, I feel like here, it's good to be here, right? It's just good to be here. And what a blessing to see your faces today. Amen. You're loved. I want you to stand this morning and turn to Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Jeremiah 15 and 16, you got your Bible, unsheath it, open it up, and join in with us. Praise God. You're so good. Wow, man, this is interesting. It's so rich, though. It said, your words were found, and I ate them. Your words were found, and I ate them. You're going to be some eating going on this Super Bowl Sunday, you know, chicken wings and pizza and all that kind of stuff. But your word, God, your word was found, I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. You know, you're going to eat that stuff. It's going to put, you know, on some of that extra poundage. But his word never puts on poundage, praise God. But it puts on spiritual poundage, right? So your words were found. I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Let's hold up your Bible this morning. And let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn around, give somebody a high five, and say, you are loved. Amen. Wow, so good to see you this morning. Amen. You are loved this morning. God is good. This is how many know people are funny? Does anybody know people? Come on, does anybody know people are funny? Or people can be funny, right? So somebody came to our church one time, and I do our little, you know, confession beforehand, and they didn't like Joel Osteen. And I said, oh, you know, are you a follower of Joel Osteen? I said, well, you know, I'm not typically a follower. Well, I heard you say this to my Bible. I said, yeah, I kind of rephrase that because I believe in, you know, confessing the word of God. And they said, well, if you like Joel Osteen, I can't be a part of that. It's like they didn't even give me a chance, man. It was like, so anyway, I'm glad that you all like Joel Osteen or whoever. So, you know, here's the thing, man. You can receive from everybody. But you got to, you know, chew the meat and spit out the bones. Right? I mean, I think there's so many people have so many good things to say, but I don't think everybody has the right thing to say. We're not all there yet. Even some great teachers I listen to, we don't have it all together. We've left, but we're not there yet, right? We haven't arrived yet. And so, you know, it's just good. But what the Word of God said, what he's saying, what Jeremiah is saying here this morning is every time you feed on God's Word, you're giving life to yourself. Amen. You're giving life. It's like God's word, sitting under God's word this morning. What's happening is you're receiving life into your body. You're receiving life into your soul. You know, when you hear God's word, you open yourself up to God's word, you sit under God's word, you go in and get in the word of God. You know, I was up early this morning. Well, let me rephrase that. I woke up early this morning at 3 o'clock. And that's usually about the time I wake up. God always wakes me up at 3. I say, why don't you wake me up at 6, God? That's more decent hour. You know, but it's always 3. So I woke up at 3, and I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and get up. I fell back asleep. I woke up at 6. So I said, God, you're really messing with me this morning, man. So I got up, you know, and just got into the Word and just, you know, refreshing myself. But there is refreshing in God's Word. Amen? And when you do that, he said, there's great joy. There's great joy in God's word. How many have just found that joy in God's word? Anybody in here this morning? There's joy. There's blessing. There's life in God's word. Amen. But what's so good? God's word just doesn't stop there. It also ministers life and healing to all our flesh. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4:20. Amen. He says, "Do not let them." There you go. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your words to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst. Everybody say midst. keep them in the midst, in the middle, in the center. Remember last week we talked about keeping Jesus in the center? Keep them in the center of your heart. Keep God's word at the forefront of your life. And he said, for they are what? For they are life to those who find them, and what? And health to all their flesh. God's word brings health to our flesh. It is God's word. As we take in God's word, as you're hearing God's word this morning, healing is being released to your flesh. Healing is being released to your body. As you sit under corporate worship and you experience God's word, there's just that release of gift of healings taking place, because the Bible says he sent his word and healed them. It's by his word that we receive life, that we receive refreshing, that we receive healing. So this morning, if you're suffering in body, just reach out and say, I receive God's word into my life right now. I receive the healing power of God's word, because there's life in the word of God. Woo! Amen. To all their flesh. So it doesn't matter what's going on with you or what the doctor has said. The word of God is the prescription to bring healing to all of your flesh. God doesn't want you getting, well, he wants you getting old, but he doesn't want you getting sick and old. He wants you to be in health. He wants you to enjoy life. Healing is yours. Healing is the children's bread. It is there for us. For they will find it, they find life. It brings life to all who find it. Life to us, amen. And health to all their flesh, amen. So the way, you know, this is the year of restoration. So if you've been sick, expect to be restored. Expect to be restored. Expect things to come back to you. Good things to come back to you. Amen? It was in the 60s, you know, during the Beatles era, and Paul McCartney was the heartthrob of all the girls back then, right? And so they came out with a record, and if I don't know which one it was, but they said, and I never did it, but if you play it backwards, they said, if you play the record backwards, Paul is dead, Paul is dead. And it started this big thing about, oh, Paul is dead, and all the girls were freaking out, right? So it's like, okay, Paul's dead. All right. So, you know, and so, but it was like backmasking. You play it backwards. And then somebody came out and said, yeah, it's kind of like you play the country song backwards, right? You get your pickup truck back. You get your wife back. You get your dog back. You get your, right? Cats don't come back. Dogs come back. So I'm just saying. But anyway, praise the Lord. So this is the year of restoration. And the way God wants us to experience this special theme for the year is by living one day at a time. Living, listen to me, living one day at a time. In other words, being in the present moment. Being in the present. Look at Psalm 46 and verse 1. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge. Can somebody say amen to that? And not only that, strength. God is our refuge. God is our strength. Where is he our refuge and strength at? A very present help. He's in the present. He's there to help you in the time of trouble. So if you feel like your life is in trouble, if you feel like you're drifting the wrong way, God is here this morning as a refuge and a strength for your life. He is here in this present time to help you in your trouble. He doesn't want you to fail. Amen. So God is here. He is a present help in the time of trouble. And we're living in the now moment. Amen. For now is the day of salvation. And look what he said in Matthew 6:34. Matthew 6:34 says this. Look at this. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow. Don't even think about it, he said. That's amazing. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own stuff, own trouble, right? So don't get out there in the future, and don't be living back here in the past, right? Don't get out in the future and don't get living in the past. Amen. And 2 Corinthians, can we put that up a second, brother? 2 Corinthians, praise the Lord. And 2 Corinthians, I want you to find this. I don't know if I have that in my notes. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. He says that God is in the very present. He is present in the time of trouble, and living is in the now is what God wants us to do, because living in the now is the time of God's favor. Living in the now is the time of God's favor. And he says, in the acceptable time I heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. In other words, now is the time of God's favor, right? Amen. This is the time of God's favor and of God's blessing. It is in the now. Amen. It is right now in the present. And salvation there, it doesn't just mean being saved. We know it means restoration. It means healing. It means deliverance. It means preserving us. Amen. All of those things are in the now time. Woo! How many want some now time favor in your life? Right now, amen? That's where God is. You remember Martha? We talked about Martha and Lazarus and Jesus, you know, showing up there. And Martha, you know, kind of said to Jesus, said, oh, if you'd only been here. Right? If you'd only been here, Lord. If you'd only been here, he wouldn't have died, right? And then Jesus said, you know, it's all right, Martha, you know, kind of like. And then she said, you know, he'll rise again. And Martha said, well, you know, Lord, I know he rise in the resurrection. So where was Martha living at? Martha was living in the past, and then Martha was living in the present. But Martha was not living in the now. Amen? And it's so good because Jesus, you know, said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is in the present moment, and he's full of life, and he's full of power. Amen? Turn to somebody this morning and say this to them, very politely, if you would. It's time to get past your past. Oh, turn to somebody else and tell them that. It's time to get past your past. Listen to me this morning. Jesus desires us to get past our past failures. Some of you have had failures, maybe in business, maybe you've tried some things, it didn't work out. Jesus wants you to get past that past. Amen? God's got good for you in your business. God's got good for you. God's got success for you. Amen? Things in your life, I believe, have been rearranged and changed since that time, and you have put Jesus in the center of your life, and God's got good for you. Maybe it's in your relationships. Maybe you had some bad relationships. It's time to get past those things because God wants to bring good relationships in your life. God wants to enjoy your family, enjoy your life, enjoy your time. It's time to get past our past. Amen? It's time to get past hurts. Oh, Jesus, amen. Don't curse it, nurse it, and rehearse it. Get past it. Amen. Let it go. Praise God. Let them go. Release them to Jesus if they've hurt you. Get over your past. It's time to get past regrets. If only. No, get over your if only. Amen. Put Jesus back in the center of your life. Amen. Your past regrets, your past confusion. Stop living in the past and stop living in the future. Amen? Hebrews 11:1. Amen? Hebrews 11:1. Look, we talked about this. Where is faith at? Faith is where? Now. Faith is always in the present. Amen? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance, the concrete. Faith is what we live by, guys. Amen. We don't live by our sight. We don't live by our feelings. We live by faith. Amen. Now faith is. I have faith now. Amen. Faith is there to meet my need. Praise God. Faith is what supplies. Praise God. Grace has been provided. Faith is what supplies the grace that's been provided. Right? Amen. It is the accepted time. Turn to somebody and say it's the accepted time. I want you, if you've got a notebook, I want you to write this statement down this morning. If you've got a notepad or something, it's going to help you this week. I want you to write this down. Would you write this down? Amen. Listen to this. Fear is a lack of trust in God's goodness. Would you write that down? Think about that just a moment. Fear is a lack of trust in God's goodness. Fear is the opposite of faith. And when we fear, unbelief comes in. And when unbelief comes in, nothing goes right in our life. And what happens with unbelief, it's really thinking that God is not going to provide for us. So fear is really a lack of trust in God's goodness. The more I discover how good God is, the more faith I have to trust him. Amen? I trust in his goodness. And when I trust in his goodness, and here's what equates to faith. When you're walking in faith, you're actually walking in rest. Because you know God's got your back. God's not only got your back, he's got your side. God's only not your side, he's got your front. In fact, he's above us and beneath us, and he's all around us, and he's in us. Amen. He has us. So fear is a lack of trust in God's goodness. I don't know about you, but I know my God is a good, good daddy. Come on, somebody. Anybody else know that? Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. Do you know something? Whenever you say amen, you're saying, so be it. You're proclaiming, so be it. God's promises are all yours to believe and receive, and we say amen. Look at Revelation 3:14. I want you to look at this a second. Revelation 3:14. Man, this is good. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write, these things says the what? Come on, say it out loud. Says the what? Says the what? Says the amen. Faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. These things says the amen. The word amen in this verse is referring to Jesus himself. So by saying amen, we are expressing our faith to what Jesus has provided for us. And I just want to go a little further. I want you to see this. This is so amazing to me. Look at this. Over in Genesis 15 and 6, look at this. This is Abraham. And Abraham, he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Everybody say Abraham believed. Abraham believed. The word believed here in the Hebrew is amon. Amon. And so what really was taking place is Abraham was saying amon to everything that God had promised him. Abraham said amen, and the amen equated to, I receive it, I believe it. Amen. So every time we say amen to the goodness of God, we say, I receive it. Every time we say amen to God's healing, we say, I receive it. Thank you, Lord. I believe it, therefore I receive it. Amen. For all the promises, look at 2 Corinthians 1:20. Look at this. For all the promises of God, everybody say all. All the promises of God in him are yes. Yes. Everybody say yes. 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 And in him, believe it. Receive it. So be it in the glory of God through who? So every time we convey with our heart, with our mouth, and with our spirit, we say amen. We're receiving everything God has got for us. Amen, Holly. Amen. I hear your faith. Mm-mm. This is the year of restoration. God wants to restore broken things in our lives. As a believer, you need to declare amen over your broken things in your life. Amen is saying, I believe you're going to restore, God. I believe it's coming back to me. Amen. God will be in the midst of brokenness when we start declaring amen. When we start saying, Lord, you got it. I got it. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I receive all of your promises because all of your promises are not no or maybe, but amen, because faith is in amen. Woo! Last week we spoke about bringing Jesus back to the center of our life. Remember that? As David brought the ark back to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, amen? Things begin to change when Jesus is in our midst. Relationships are restored. Health is restored. Self-effort is negated. It's all about Jesus. Healing takes place when we put our faith in him, and Jesus is in our midst. There's many scriptures in the Bible that talk about Jesus being in the midst, but I want to just bring this one up this morning. Look at Luke 24, 36, putting Jesus back in the center. And I know I'm going a lot of different places, but I want you to get this morning. Now, as they said these things, here's Jesus. They were huddled together. They were in fear. And here comes Jesus in their midst. And when Jesus is in the midst, this is what he always speaks to us. Peace to you. When Jesus is in the center of your life, amen, and you're saying amen to all these promises and you're declaring over him, what does he speak to us? He speaks shalom, nothing lacking and nothing broken. Hallelujah. Jesus is in the very center of our life. Praise God. And we talked about him bringing the ark back, and of course, you know, the oxen stumbled, and Uzziah put his hand out, and God smote him, and they took the ark, and they put it in Obed's house for 3 months, and there the ark was in the midst of Obed's house. And when Jesus is in the midst of our house, we cannot help but be blessed. It's just natural, man. When Jesus is in the middle, I mean, it's just natural for you to be blessed. I want you to look there just a moment to 1 Chronicles 13, 14. Look at what he says here. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house. Everybody say, the Lord blessed the house. And not only did he bless the house of Obed-Edom, but he blessed all that he had. I mean, everything that he had was blessed in that house. His food was blessed. Praise God, amen. His kids were blessed. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing our children. His dog was blessed. His cat was blessed. Even the mouse in the house was blessed, amen. Everything was blessed because the ark represented Jesus. When you look at the ark and you take the ark and you lay it, if you would open it up and you just open all the sides of the ark, it was the shape of the cross. And you had the mercy seat and you had the gold and you had the acacia wood that represented Jesus' humanness and the humanity, and the gold that represented his divinity, and the blood of the mercy seat of the ark. It was all about Jesus. Amen? And Jesus being in the center of this house for 3 months, that house experienced the blessing and the favor of God. And so wherever Jesus is in the midst of our life, we're going to experience the same blessing and the same favor of God. And he said, over all that he had. How many want the blessing of the Lord over all that you have? Woo! Amen, man. When that takes place, the favor of God is all over you, and people see the favor of God over you. I put up a post this week, and some of you follow me on Facebook, some of you don't, but if you do, you may have read it, and I basically said this. I said that Christian, as believers, we should be so blessed that the world is jealous of us instead of us being jealous of the world. Now, you need to really say, so be it on that. Christian believers should be so blessed that the world is jealous of what we have instead of us being jealous of what they have. Now, we got a lot more than the world when it just comes to monetary means, right? Because we've got peace, we got joy, we got all these things. But you know, the world, you know what speaks to the world? M-O-N-E-Y. Money speaks to the world. All these athletes, all these people that are multi-billionaires, I mean, multi-billionaires are changing the dynamics of our government. Are you aware of that? Not good men, evil men with lots of money are changing and buying and changing the dynamics of our government. Somebody says, why doesn't the Republican Party speak up in Washington? Because most of them are in on it. Oh, Pastor, getting over in politics there. That's all right. You need to hear some of this. right? But here's the thing. Think about this. If believers were multi-millionaires, what influence and impact you would have upon this world. We could change the world because the Bible says money answers all things. Oh, yeah, I know, Pastor, but the love of money. Well, listen, you're not supposed to love money. Hello? You don't love money. Money's just a tool that you use. But the blessing of God, when the Jews saw the blessing of God and the Jewish nation saw the blessings of God, they always equated it to money and prosperity. It was like, whoa, yeah, they're blessed. David's blessed. You know, Solomon's blessed. You read the Bible and you see all these things. I believe there's coming a shift, listen to me, in this thing where the wealth of the wicked, the Bible says, is laid up for the righteous. And the reason it is in this last day is because there's going to be a shift. We were singing that song this morning. I don't know if you caught it all, but it talked about the glory of the Lord going all over the world. I believe that's going to take place. It's going to take place through believers who have great influence in this world, and evil is going to subside, and hallelujah. And Jesus is going to rise higher and higher, praise God, as the church is ushered in this third wave of grace, as people are finding the favor of God and the blessing of God, and people are rising up into businesses, and they're owning businesses, and they're just helping other people be blessed, that the blessing and the favor of God is going to come up on them so much, there's going to be a shift in our government and everything because of Christian believers. You believe that this day? Amen. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Why is that? Because God's favor's on you, and condemnation and shame have been lifted by God's grace, and therefore you can step into the favor of God, into the Holy of Holies, without any of that stuff, because so much of what held us back is we walked under shame and condemnation and guilt for years, thinking that God was out to get us instead of God being out to bless us. And now there's been a shift where you know God's out to bless you and not to get you. Oh, I feel it. Woo! Look at 1 Chronicles 13, 14, another verse speaking of Obed. Listen to what it says. Amen. 2 Samuel 6, 11. Look at this other verse. Amen. 2 Samuel 6, 11. Hallelujah. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed Edom, the Gittite for three months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. He blessed all of his stuff, and he blessed all of his household. Man, the blessing of God, why? Because he had Jesus, he had the ark in the center of his house. And David took notice of this and said, hey, we're going to take the ark, and we're going to put it in Jerusalem. Amen? Because we're going to put it in Jerusalem, because we want the blessing of the favor of the Lord, and we're going to carry it the right way back instead of doing it the wrong way. We're going to put it on the shoulders of the priest as we carry it back to Jerusalem. And we put it in Mount Zion. Amen? This is the blessing of the Lord. Not only that, it's so interesting. The Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark. The ark of God was this Jesus, the representative of Jesus Christ there. Amen? And I want you to look at, and I don't have it up here, but I want to break down the name of Obed for just a moment. Obed means servant. Obed means servant. When we're in grace, it's like servant goes out the door. Obedience goes out the door. No. Amen. When you're in grace, it gives you the power to be obedient. Come on, somebody. Amen. When we're under grace, it's the power to be obedient. The law pushes you. Listen to me. Grace leads you. The law demands, grace supplies. Right? So his name was Obed. It means servant. Edom means red. Edom comes from the root word dam, which means blood. Right? That's why the name of Adam means red-blooded man. Adam was the first red-blooded man. Just saying, amen? So what does it mean? So Obed-Edom's name meant servant of the blood. Servant of the blood, amen? Onanism was a man that understood the importance of the blood. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus is important. Amen. He understood the mercy seat where the blood was applied. He understood what it meant to be forgiven. You see, once a year, the high priest would go in and offer the sacrifice for all the sins of that year. But here's the thing about it now. It's been offered once and forever. Hebrews 10:10. Look at this. Hebrews 10:10. This is so good. Amen. By the will, we have been sanctified through the offering. We're not being sanctified. We've been sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once and for all. Therefore, we don't have to wait a year from now to be blessed. We could be blessed right now. In fact, we're blessed every day we live because of the blood of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Amen. Every day I live, I am blessed of God. Hebrews 9:22, look at this. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission of sin. So he put a high value on the blood of Jesus. Amen. I believe as a believer, we put a high value on the blood of Jesus. How many are old enough to remember this saying, I plead the blood of Jesus? Anybody remember that? Anybody? Some of you remember that? Man, that used to be a huge thing back in the 70s and, you know, 60s. But I plead the blood of Jesus. And what it basically meant, when you're in trouble, you just take your authority over the blood of Jesus, right? Amen. I mean, the enemy cannot stand the blood. So several years ago, I mean, a few years back, BH, before Holly. way back, right? So before we were married, I maybe 19, 20, right? So there was a girl in Detroit, Michigan that I dated, and she had a sister just for a brief time. And she had a sister. Her name was Kathy. Her sister's name was Anita. And had a good friend of mine. So we decided we're going to go on a double date, you know, with the sisters, right? And so the state fair was going on. So we decided we're going to take them to the state fair. And I didn't know this, but these girls love to ride rides. And we rode every ride at the state fair. I mean, and I'm not much of a ride guy, but, you know, here we are. You know, you're trying to impress the girl, right? Hey, baby, you know. So trying to impress the girl, right? So rode every ride there, you know. And I was a believer. The girls were believers. My friend was a believer. So we got down to the last ride, and it was a double Ferris wheel. And we had just ridden, you know, everything. And the girl said, hey, let's go on the double Ferris wheel. Yeah, that's all right, you know, I'll go. And my buddy said, he got sick on his last ride. He said, man, I can't go. And I said, hey, no problem. I said, you know, I'll go with him. So we got on the ride, and I'm sitting in the middle, and we go around one time. And Anita is sitting next to me, because I'm in the middle, the girls are on the side. Anita's sitting here. We go around one time, and she gets on me so sick. I couldn't believe it. And all of a sudden, at the top of her lungs, she screamed, I plead the blood of Jesus! And we were just passing beneath where the guy shuts the thing down. He heard that scream, and he went, he stopped that wheel, man. I'm like, whoa! I'm like, are you okay? I plead the blood of Jesus! Let me off this thing! And I thought, right there, there's such authority in the blood of Jesus. If it can stop a double Ferris wheel in the midst of a turn, it can stop anything going on in your life. And when you say amen to the blood of Christ, I mean, the most powerful thing in this world is his blood. The most powerful thing in the world is his blood. And sometimes we forget about that. You know, I think if we can, either Sunday from now or the Sunday following, make sure we have everything together. I want us to take communion together. Because communion celebrates everything Jesus done for us. Amen. Everything he's done for us is celebrated in the blood of Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. And when we look back to that and we honor that, you just can't help but reflect and be blessed by everything he's done. So this morning, amen, I want you to stand, and I want you to say out of the top of your lungs today, I plead the blood of Jesus. We're going to count to three, and we're going to say it together. And listen to me. Whatever been going on in your life or whatever harassment you've, you know, the enemy loves to harass us. Anybody ever been harassed by the devil? Come on. He loves to, and where does he harass us at? Right here. So I'm going to count to three this morning. I want you to throw up your hands. We're going to say, I plead the blood of Jesus today. And when we say that at the end, I want you to say a big amen, right? And listen to me. We've got prayer here for you. We have a wonderful lady, and we're going to add more to that. That's what our discovery class is about. Part of this is getting people involved in ministry. But we've got a wonderful lady and others that will be glad to pray for you. But Crystal is always in room three. And if you've got things going on that you just need extra prayer for, go back and see her. It doesn't have to be something deliverance or anything like that, because I believe you're already delivered if you understand what you got. But go back and see her. She will minister to you. Amen? So raise up your hands and count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Say it with me. I plead the blood of Jesus. Woo! Man, amen. Wow. There's some power in that. Amen. Let's do it again. Come on. One, two, three. I plead the blood of Jesus. Woo! Amen. Now raise up your hand and let's do some confession. Say thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're in the center of my life. You're in the center of my home. Therefore, I have to be blessed. I'm blessed because of you. Not because of what I do, but because of what you've done. I receive all the blessings, all the favor of God on my life, on my children, on my grandchildren, on my great-grandchildren, on my great-great-grandchildren. In Jesus' name, I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. Come on, I am blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I am the head and not the tail. Woo! Man, I just feel some things release out of this place today. I just feel some joy come into somebody's heart this morning. Hallelujah. I feel like you got a brand new perspective of something right now. Amen. And God is just doing a new thing right in your heart and your life. Your business is getting ready to explode. You entrepreneurs out there, just get ready, amen, because God's blessing and favor is on you. You get ready, praise God. He's going to show you, guide you, and direct you. He's going to put you with people that are going to bless you, amen. They're going to bless you with knowledge, with wisdom, with understanding on how to get it done. So you get ready this morning, because the blood of Jesus is over your household. And when they saw the blood, the death angel had to pass over them. Anything that's death in your life, it's passing over and turning to life right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You receive that, amen. You receive that this morning. You take that with you today and say, God, I've got life in me. Thank you, Lord, for that. Shake hands with five people this morning. Tell them how blessed you are. Amen. Come on. Praise the Lord.